ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पात् हृदविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिताहिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहम्। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृततुगे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। प्रकृते क्रियमाणानि गुणैकर्माणि सर्वशः अहङ्कारविमूढात्मा कर्ताहमिति मन्यते। भगवान् इस् कम्पेरिङ्ग् एन् अज्ञानी वित् a wise person with a jnani. The difference between them externally nothing, but internally there is an ocean of difference. Both appears to act in this world, both plan for their action, both are very particular about result of that particular action. But Ajnani depends upon the result of that action for his Purnatvam, whereas Jnani doesn't depend upon the result of his action for his Purnatvam. Jnani works with Purnatvam or out of Purnatvam, whereas Ajnani works for the sake of Purnatvam. This is one difference. Another difference, technical Vedantic difference, is when body mind complex relate with the world to the situation, Ajnani considers that transaction as his own transaction. Bhagavan told in the last sloka, prakritehe gunaihi karmani kriyamanani sarvashaha. All the actions under all conditions are done by body mind complex only. When this is the fact with regard to all the actions, ahankara vimudhatma, an ignorant person who is deluded by his ahankara, satya ahankara, ahamkarta iti manyate, he considers himself as a doer, as a karta. Once he considers himself as a doer, naturally he has to be prepared for the consequence called bhokta, karma phalam. He has to go through, which will be in the form of punyam and papam. To exhaust that punyam and papam, he has to take one more janma. Then in that janma, again he will do some actions. While doing that action, again he will have the doership. In this way, his samsara chakra continues. He never stops even a moment to question the idea that whether I am a doer or not. Can I be a doer? In the next sloka, Bhagavan talks about a jnani. Tattva vittu maha bahu guna karma vibhagayoho guna guneshu vartante iti matva na sajjate. In both cases, body-mind complex transact with the external world. In the case of Ajnani and in the case of wise man, in both cases, body-mind complex alone transacts with the world. But Ajnani considers that transaction as his own transaction, whereas Jnani considers that transaction belong to his own ahankara, not to himself. Here Bhagavan says, ஞானி ஆல்சோ ஹேஸ் அகங்காரா. அகங்காரா மீன்ஸ் வாட்? எ லைவ் பாடி மைண்ட் காம்ப்ளெக்ஸ். ஞானி ஆல்சோ ஹேஸ் எ லைவ் பாடி மைண்ட் காம்ப்ளெக்ஸ். நாட் தட் ஹீ வில் டை இம்மிடியேட்லி ஆஃப்டர் கெய்னிங் ஆத்ம ஜானம். ஆஸ் சூன் அஸ் ஹி கெய்ன்ட் ஆத்ம ஜானம், வாட் இஸ் த ரிசல்ட்? இம்மிடியேட்லி டெத். சம் பிலாசபர்ஸ் சே டெத் வில் ஹேப்பன் நாட் இம்மிடியேட்லி பட் ஆஃப்டர் 21 டேஸ் இட் வில் ஹேப்பன். இன் பாப்புலர் புக்ஸ் யூ கேன் ரீட், after gaining that knowledge in samadhi, after 21 days he will die. So that means from the date of jnanam he is not available for any transaction to the world. He is not available to the world. He sits in samadhi with closed eyes, gains knowledge according to that philosophers, gains knowledge in samadhi. Then after gaining the knowledge, he is not going to get up and do some good work to the society. He will sit in that samadhi for 21 days without eating anything. After 21 days he will die. So whoever works in this world are ajnani. That is the particular type of philosopher's conclusion. Vedanta negates it. Jnani will have body after the gaining of knowledge also. Jnani will have a beautiful mind which can observe the world, which can sympathize with the world, which can teach the people who are ready to learn. So he will not die immediately after jnana. Jnani will be alive as long as his prarabdha karma exists. As long as the prarabdha karma which brought this body exists, so long his body and mind will be existing in this world. But his body mind complex will not be a burden to that jnani. It will not be a binding factor, since he has discovered his higher nature. Since he has discovered his higher nature, the transactions of the body mind complex and the existence of this body mind complex doesn't bind the jnani. Ahankaraha is available for functioning not as a reality but as a functional factor. It is like a roasted seed. Wise man's high consciousness compared to a roasted seed. Roasted seed, for all purposes, it looks like a seed. But if you put into the mud, it will not germinate, because it is already roasted by the fire. Similarly, the idea of high consciousness of jnani is roasted by the fire called atmajnanam. So atmajnanam has converted his ahankara, which happened to be a poisonous one. Ahankara is the source of all problems, all sufferings of human life. It is like a poisonous fang. So that poisonous fang is removed by the knowledge. Therefore his ahankara becomes alankaraha. Ahankaraha becomes alankaraha. A poisonous fang becomes ornament. That is why you can see in the Shiva's body, snake is happily moving. You imagine if snake moves in our body, we are afraid of it. Why? Because there is a poison, it may kill me. Once that poisonous fang is removed, anybody can have it as an alankara. That is a sign Bhagavan Shiva is having that snake in his body. Here Bhagavan says, "Ye Mahabaho." Now and then in Gita you will come across Bhagavan addressing Arjuna. Some commentators say, because Bhagavan is not sure whether this fellow is hearing or not, because the atmosphere is battlefield. So much of sound, crowd. You imagine lakhs of people gathered in one area with lot of trumpets and elephants, horses, their sound. So many sound will be there. In that situation only Gita was told to Arjuna. So Bhagavan is not sure whether this fellow is hearing properly or not. So whenever he wanted to say an important point, he will call Arjuna. Hey Arjuna! That means to attract his attention. Here he says, "Hey Mahabaho Arjuna, guna karma vibhaga yoho tattva vitu." One who knows the reality. What is that reality? One who knows the reality that gunaha guneshu vartante. this body mind complex transact with the external world. I have nothing to do with their actions and their karma phala, the result of those actions, nor of gunaha and its karma. Guna vibhagasya karma vibhagasya cha tattva vidu. Acharya writes, guna vibhagasya tattva vibhagasya karma vidu. Gunaha means what? The last class visha, ahankaraha. Karma, guna karma vibhagayo means ahankara and its karma. Wise man who knows the difference between the atma, himself, and the ahankara, body mind complex. Wise man who considers himself as akarta atma and who considers all the actions belong to ahankara, he knows the truth that ahankara will be always in action. It will be an eternal karta. He will be an eternal doer. Some action or the other, at least breathing will be going on. As long as he remains in this world, breathing will be going on. So that action will be there. So ahankara can never give up actions. Therefore, he allows that ahankara to do actions according to its own varna and ashrama dharma. After gaining knowledge, not that he is going to shut up himself in the caves of the mountain, nor he is going to sit all the time with closed eyes, nor he is going to disappear immediately like a camper. So he will allow that ahankara to act in this world. How? According to the varna and ashrama of that ahankara. If that varna and ashrama is a kshatriya varna and a grihastha ashrama, like Bhagavan Krishna himself, he will be very active in family household duties. As a kshatriya, he was very active in protecting the people of the country, in protecting the dharma of the country. So he allows that ahankara to go through its own prarabdha karma, which may be a pleasurable one or painful one. There is a story in Samartha Ramadas ji's life. One devotee of Samartha Ramadas ji, Kalyan Maharaj's name was. Samartha Ramadas ji was guru of Shivaji Maharaja. So Shivaji Maharaja was very much loving all the disciples of Samartha Ramadas. So this Kalyan Maharaj was very very fond of Shivaji. Shivaji also was very much fond of this Kalyan Maharaj. Shivaji presented some costly items like silk shawl, some chhatri, like that, some costly items, shoes and other things he presented. This Kalyan Maharaj, wearing all these things here and there roaming, other disciples did not like, because their life is full of austerity and renunciation. So they went and told to Samartha Ramadas ji, see, our Kalyan is doing like this, living a luxurious life. But Samartha Ramadas knows that it is his prarabdha. This fellow doesn't hanker for it. It comes without asking. He has to go through it because it is prarabdha. But others could not understand it. So he wanted to clear that opinion of others. So he called the Kalyan Maharaj. Kalyan, what is this? Then Kalyan Maharaj told, it is Guru Krupa. Because of Guru Krupa, I got all these nice things, chhatri and other silk shawl. Guru Krupa told. Then Samartha Ramadas told, no, no, you remove all these things, it is not looking nice because you are staying in an ashrama and having all these funny things which belong to Raja. The things which belong to Raja should be owned by Raja only, not by a sadhu. So you remove like that. So immediately Kalyan Maharaj told, okay, Guru Krupa it is. I accept it. He removed everything, gave it to somebody, and he was roaming in that forest. Some days afterwards, Shivaji Maharaja had to come that side, and he saw Kalyan Maharaj sitting under a tree, silently, without even any dress, with one simple kaupina. Then Shivaji asked, what happened? Kalyan Maharaj told, Guru Krupa. It is Guru Krupa. Then they talked, then finally, while going, Shivaji again presented certain costly things to him, made him to wear all the silk shirt and other thing, and put two constables also, because Kalyan Maharaj did not tell that I have given up because of Guru's order. He did not tell. He simply told Guru Krupa, that's all. Shivaji understood, maybe somebody might have come and taken his all these belongings when he was meditating. So he gave again, then put two soldiers also to protect those things. So Chatri was there like a Raja. He was sitting and he was in his own world. By that time, along with other disciples, Samantha Ramdas ji again came to that area, because it's a forest, everybody is to move around. Again Samantha Ramdas ji saw Kalyan ji was having all these luxurious things, nice items to eat, and two people who were put for security purpose, they were fanning him nicely. So then Samantha Ramdas ji asked, hey, what happened? Again he told, Guru Kripa. What does it mean? The person allows his body, mind, complex, his ahankara to go through its own prarabdha. He doesn't want to put a stop, full stop. He accepts them, not only pleasurable situations he accepts. This Guru Kripa everybody can say. When nice things come to us, we also say, all Ishwara Kripa, Thakur's Kripa, everything nice like that, he can say. But if it is cancer, if somebody beloved ones die, that time also he will tell it is Guru Kripa. Here, the jnani accepts all the situations, whether it is pleasurable or painful, and he is not bothered about the future of the ahankara. Whatever is going to happen to that body mind complex is going to happen. Old age will be there, diseases will be there. How many years he is going to live, we don't know. There are many jnanis who lived up to 110 years. There are some jnanis like our Swami Vivekananda, immediately they gave up this body and went. So we don't know what is the prarabdha of the body. Therefore he accepts that prarabdha and allows the body mind complex to go through its prarabdha. Why he allows them, why he accepts them? Because he knows that I am the infinite consciousness who is sustaining millions of bodies. Millions of mind are sustained by me. Millions of bodies are sustained by me. The consciousness, where is the question of botheration about one particular body and one particular mind? So he is not bothered about his particular body and mind. That's what in Sri Ramakrishna's life we find, when he was not able to take even soji paya, the farina pudding also. Other disciples were insisting, you please pray to the Mother Kali or you wish yourself that you will become cured. Sri Ramakrishna says, no, I cannot do that. I cannot wish that I should become cured. That means I should accept myself as body, then I should say I should get cured. That is not possible. His mind is already offered to Mother Kali. But Swami Vivekananda and other disciples were insisting, so at least pray to mother or complain to mother that for the sake of others this body should be healthy. You go to mother like that, they pushed him, sent him. As even he went, entered the temple, Mother Kali showed a vision. After seeing that vision, he came back with an angry mood. Because of these small boys, these disciples, I got a nice punch from Mother Kali. What was the vision? Mother Kali since scolded Sri Ramakrishna, are you not happy with eating through all these mouths? You want one particular mouth to be healthy? You want to eat through one particular mouth, your own mouth? Are you not eating through all these mouths? That is the knowledge. So he is not bothered about one particular body. He does not try to avoid transactions between ahankara and the world. His attitude towards all transactions will be, Bhagavan says here, gunaha guneshu vartante, ahankaraha bahya visheshu vartante. Body mind complex interacts with the external world, external material world. Here the word guna comes two times, gunaha guneshu. In both words dhatu called gunaha is there. Gunajanyatvad gunaha. This body and mind also born out of prakriti gunaha, maya shakti. This external world also is born out of, is the product of maya shakti. Both are being product of guna, trigunatmika, maya. Therefore both are called gunaha. First gunaha means ahankaraha. First guna in this sloka, first gunaha means ahankaraha, which is made up of sattva, rajas, tamas, guna. They fluctuate time to time. Early morning, sattva guna may be there. at the midnight tamoguna will be there. Without tamoguna you cannot sleep also. But at all the time you cannot have tamoguna. Because all the time either sleeping or sleepy. People are either sleeping or they are sleepy all the time in that sleeping mood. This gunas, three gunas fluctuate from one to another. Therefore transaction, varieties of transaction happen. And the external world also is called gunaha because it is the product of the maya shakti. The ahankara also is product of maya shakti. The bhogya prapanja, that is world of objects also is the product of maya shakti. One product of maya shakti is interacting with the another product of maya shakti. Guna guneshu vartante. Material body mind complex transacts with material world. This transaction will go on as long as this body mind complex exists. So jnani doesn't have abhimana towards this ahankara, towards his own deha. Since he doesn't have deha abhimanam, he is not affected by the transaction. He says body and mind are products of three guna. World also is a product of three guna, but aham atma nirgunaha. Aham atma nirgunaha akarta. Akarta means non-doer and abhokta. Iti matva na sajjate. With this knowledge, iti jnatva na sajjate. With this knowledge form in his mind, he is not affected by the transactions and the result of the transactions. He enjoys the awareness that I am asanga atma, sustaining and illumining all the bodies and their transactions, their problems, their suffering. Like a sleeper sustaining the dream. A person who sleeps dreams. So who is the creator of this world, the dream world? The sleeping person is the creator of the dream world. Who is sustaining the dream world? The sleeping person alone sustaining the dream world. As even he gets up, the dream world goes off. So he is sustaining the dream world and he transacts inside the dream world also. That's why he runs. Chased by a tiger, he runs there. Who runs? It is an imagination. Whatever imagination was in the mind has the capacity to project it as an external real thing. But he doesn't have this knowledge that I have projected this world. I have created this drama. And I have entered in this drama to have a nice fun. After entering, he has forgotten. Before entering, he is not bothered about dream tiger. But after entering, he has forgotten that he only created that dream tiger. Therefore, he is in trouble. That's why in our Puranas, you can see, in Nidra, there is no world. In deep sleep, there is no world. In waking state and in dream state, there are worlds. In Nidra, no world, but no knowledge also. In Nidra, no world, therefore no problem. But there is no knowledge that I don't have problem. Isn't it? No world, no problem, but there is no knowledge that I don't have problem. Here, world is there, and knowledge also is there. What knowledge? I have problems, that knowledge is there. That's why in Purana, Bhagavan Vishnu is depicted as though a person sleeping with awareness. What does it mean? Yoga Nidra it is called in the Sanskrit. It is called Yoga Nidra. He is in Nidra, but he is in Yoga. Yoga means full awareness. He is dreaming with the awareness that I am dreaming. Therefore, nothing affects him. You imagine if he doesn't have this knowledge. Oh, he is the biggest samsari. So many bin Ladens he has to manage. He has to manage so many terrorists, so many people, so many cantankerous people he has to manage. How he will manage? If he thinks that it is a real problem, he cannot manage. He will run away. So he knows all these are all only my projection. This knowledge gives that objectivity அவேர்னஸ் ஆஃப் ஹையர் ரியாலிட்டி கன்வெர்ட் தி டிரான்சாக்ஷனல் ரியாலிட்டி ஆஸ் எ மியர் அப்பியரன்ஸ். அவேர்னஸ் ஆஃப் மை வேக்கர் ஹுட் கன்வெர்ட் தி ட்ரீம் டிரான்சாக்ஷன்ஸ் அண்ட் ட்ரீம் கேரக்டர்ஸ் ஆஸ் எ மியர் அப்பியரன்ஸ். He was chased by tiger, he was running. Simply he jumped. Where? In dream he jumped. And in waking state, he has jumped down from the cart. So mother comes and wakes, hey, what happened? Tiger, tiger. Where tiger? No tiger at all. Then he finds, once he is waken up to that higher reality, wakerhood, all the dream characters and dream transactions and its problems becomes a mere appearance, which we call in Sanskrit as mithya. Mithya means not non-existence. Generally people translate mithya is equal to unreal. Unreal means generally what we understand, it is not at all there. No, that is not the meaning of mithya. It is there, but it is not really there. It is there, but it is not really there. Whatever is there doesn't disturb us. Whatever is there really disturbs us. In dream, we find money is there, somebody, friend is there. That friend has taken or an enemy has taken that money. As long as we consider it as a real money and real person, we are bothered about that. Once you get up, what you see? Neither the dream money is there, nor the person, dream enemy is there. So what happens? The idea called enemy and money is there, but since that idea was falsified by the waker, immediately you laugh at yourself. Ah, it is simply a dream. So here, from the paramarthika standpoint, all the vyavaharika, all the transactions happening becomes unreal. It is happening, it is appearing, but still it is not a fact. Real means what? A fact. Like a mirage water. Mirage water appears as though real water. As long as you don't know that it is a mirage water, you will run towards it. After going there, you will find that there is no water at all. It is simply a mirage because of hot sun. After knowing this, again mirage water will appear to you as mirage water only, but you will not be affected by that mirage water. You will not run towards it next day. Swami Vivekananda quotes this example when he was roaming in Rajasthan. Daily he used to see lot of good trees and beautiful ponds and other things. He did not know that they are all mirage water. One day when he was in thirsty mood, he wanted to have water. When he approached that place where he saw all the ponds and lay, he found all are simply mirage. After knowing that also, he was going through the same area for many days. He says, after knowing that also, appearance of mirage water will continue, but I will not run towards it. Similarly, jnani, after knowledge also, this world is going to be as it is. Same traffic problem will be there, sound pollution will be there, cantankerous neighbors will be there, scolding wife or husband will be there. People will be there as they are, but he is not bothered about it because he has woken up to the paramarthika satyam, higher reality. Once you forget that higher reality, all the other transactional realities become real one. Once you forget the screen, white screen, that's why cinema theater, what they do first? Before operating cinema, what they do first? They will put off light. In the presence of light, cinema will not work. So first you should be blind to the light. You should be blind to the fact that there is a screen. That is the real one. After blinding our eyes and the mind, slowly all the shadow movies are projected. As even the movie is progressing, this fellow's emotions also progressing. Their love song duet is going on. Here also imaginary, because in house not possible. So at least in theatre, imaginary wise, okay, we will round about the trees, love song going on, their quarrel going on, here also quarrels in his mind going on. Their fighting means here also kicks the neighbor. How slowly he was carried away to the shadow as reality once he has forgotten the screen, basic screen. So, once you forgot that paramarthika standpoint, all the vyavaharika, all the transactional personalities, problems and the situations becomes real. You just imagine, from the actor standpoint, he is acting as though as a beggar. How he acts? After acting as beggar, he is not worried about that begging action. He is proud about it. He says, ah, nicely I acted. Not that that particular action made him to suffer, because he had that higher knowledge that even though I have acted, even though I was a beggar, I appeared to be a beggar for a particular moment, I acted it consciously with the knowledge that I am the actor. So he can happily cry, maybe with a glycerin, putting glycerin also, he can cry happily. How can you cry happily? If you are an actor, you can cry happily. After crying also, you can be proud about your acting capacity. So, Jnani's condition is that one. This is a unique solution given by Vedanta. No other religion can give this solution to our human problem. No other religious scriptures can give this solution. What solution? It says, never try to change the world. Never expect satisfaction, purnatvam, fulfillment from the external world. External world is neither the source of your suffering nor the source of your happiness. Don't try to change the vyavaharika jagat, but try to find out your paramarthika swarupam. That is the solution given by Vedanta. You cannot deal with that Himalaya. Like Hanumanji, he did not try to deal with that Himalaya. He simply became very huge in front of his hugeness. Himalaya became small like a pebble stone. So don't try to run away from the dream tiger. Just get up to your wakerhood. In the presence of Jagrat, Pramadaha, dream body, dream life becomes unreal. Similarly, in the presence of Atmajnanam, Atmajnanam means an awareness that I am not the body-mind complex. A subtle but beautiful awareness. In that presence of that knowledge, this waking body and waking world becomes unreal. Not that it disappears. Unreal means not disappearance. It is there, but it doesn't have the capacity to make me suffer. He looks upon his own body-mind complex objectively. He can happily transact with this world with that objectifying capacity. He is not affected by the world. The subjectivity is the cause of all problems. Vedanta asserts that for all human problems, subjectivity is the cause. Solution will be in the form of objectivity. What does it mean? See, we are not bothered about problem for some body, isn't it? So many people are dying. So many people are dying in the world. So many human beings are dying. Do we bother about it? What we say, we may quote even Gita also, Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu. Anything which has come to this world has to die. We appreciate the law of nature if it is with regard to others' body. The same mind expects that his own body should not get death. His own body should not have disease. His own family people should not have disease and death. So why this expectation? Because there is a subjectivity with regard to one particular body or some few particular bodies. When this subjectivity is removed, whatever happens to that body doesn't bother me. Suppose Bhagavan accepts our prayer. Generally people, the so called beginners of devotion or devotees, they will say, hey Bhagavan, kanni illiya, kaadi illiya, you don't have ears, you don't have eyes, how many times I have come to this temple, how many times I pray to you, my child should get cured, my husband should get cured. Now you have not fulfilled my desire, therefore I reject you, you are not at all there. When you pray like this crying, immediately Bhagavan says, don't worry. What you wanted? Nobody in your family should die. Okay? Tadastu, he told. So what happened? 30 years, 40 years also, this fellow pulling on. Great grandfather pulling on 200 years. Great 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 grandfather pulling on 300 years. Will you serve him? Then again he comes to temple. Oh Bhagavan, you don't have capacity to understand my problem. How many days I have to serve my old, 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 old? Which old? 300 years old, Tata, grandfather. Please take him. And in a sophisticated manner, he say, not that I am not ready to serve him, but I am not able to see him suffering. So we want two types of loss. Ignorant mind wants two types of loss. One law is for his own sake, another law is applicable for entire world. And with regard to himself also, he will change according to his own whims and fancies. So life without disease, problems and death for me, one law. A life without disease, problems and sufferings, and of course without death, one law. And anything happens with regard to any other body, that is governed by another universal law. So other bodies can suffer. I can even kill other bodies of animals and aquatic creatures, nightly eat also. He will say, it is my food. Bhagavan has created for me. Arey, when you cannot bear a scratch from the blade, and you say, ayyo, 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 how much that fish can suffer? Then how can he eat? So Vedanta says, this is a peculiar condition, mental disposition of an ignorant mind. He wants one particular type of law for himself, and he wants another type of law for all others. In Tirupati, there will be a queue. Those who have gone to Tirupati Devasthana, they have this nice experience of waiting. There only you should learn patience. 12 hours, 13 hours, 14 hours, you have to be in queue. So at that time, what our mind says, what is this, so much late? 12 hours I have to wait for darshan. So what you say, immediately you suggest a law also. People should not be allowed to stand more time in front of the Lord. 1 minute time only should be given to every devotee. 1 minute, 1 minute itself, millions of people are there. So at least some 2-3 hours can be reduced. You have given law. So temple authorities accepted that law. Okay. So they fixed only 1 minute. More than that, you cannot stand. As even you go in front of the Lord, what do you want? Are you allowing yourself to be knocked off, to be pushed off? You say, sir, sir, 1 more minute, sir. Are you only put that law? 1 minute only should be allowed. So when I am in the queue, one type of law I expect. When I am in that bhokta status, I expect another type of queue. Like our modern media wallahs. In those days, media was kept with rishis. Narada Bhagavan was the chief media person. So media department was in good condition. Only truth will be propagated. That also, if it is going to be a harmful one, they will not tell. So all the censorship was there. They have that sanity of thinking, which can be told, which cannot be told, like that. But now media has come to commercial hands. So what they say, we have the right of speech, freedom of expression. Therefore, we can go to any place and do sting operation and comment about anyone. Okay? So accepted. Some other media wala who is again this another media wala, suppose he goes to his media place and does something, he doesn't accept. The same rule he doesn't accept for himself. Then he says, it is the killing of democracy. It is an intrusion of privacy, he says. Are you only told freedom of speech, you only told. When it is with regard to other life, other transaction, you claim that it is a freedom of speech. But when the same thing is applied to you, you say, is a intrusion of privacy. Put one more law. How many laws? Nobody is there to implement. Laws are going on, coming. So, this type of double standard is the problem of our life. Shastra say, how can you have two universal laws? Only one universal law you can have. You decide what law you want. Shastra says, if you are an ignorant person, you will be bothered about the law which pertains to your own body. If you are a wise person, you will not bother about that law which pertains to your own body also. Atmopam yena sarvatra samam pashyati yorjuna sukamva yediva dukkam sayogi paramo mataha. Bhagavan is going to tell this. The jnani is one. He considers his own body and mind as equal to any other's body and mind. That's why he is an embodiment of humility. He never claims any superiority. Others say that you are a great wise person, you are a jnani, you are a brahma jnani. He says, I am not brahma jnani, I am brahman. I am brahman, I am not wise man. If I am wise man, you are also wise man. That's why he can happily say anyone, you are brahman. A rich man cannot say another poor man, you are rich. He cannot say. A learned person cannot say to an illiterate person, you are learned, come dine along with me. A Raja cannot say to anyone that you are Raja. Only this Jnani can say that you are myself. You are as equal as myself. But ignorant person's mind has this problem of subjectivity and objectivity. Either you be subjective person with regard to all bodies, suffer all the sufferings of all bodies, or you be objective with regard to all bodies including your own body. But the problem of ignorant is, he is very much objective with regard to others' body and very much subjective with regard to his own body. So problems of other bodies don't affect him, but problems of his own body and his related bodies, family, nam iruvar, namak iruvar. In Tamil they say, we are two, ours two. So problems of these three or four bodies become a great problem in life. Therefore Vedantic solution, it's a unique solution, no religion gives this. They say, first you have to die, then go to somewhere else, heaven or Vaikuntha or Shivaloka, somewhere else you have to go. To get out of this problem, what is the solution? Die. And after death, what happens, you don't know. Even if you know, you cannot have the same body to come and ask this person who told, hey, you told like that, there will be some music party of Ramba or Urvashi, but there I found nothing is there. They have gone on tour, 1 month I am missing. You cannot come and ask. So Vedanta laughs at these people. So, a jnani is a person who has complete objectivity with regard to his own body and others' body. Therefore, he accepts all the universal laws as it is. No amendment for my sake. As it is, he accepts. He accepts old age gracefully. He accepts diseases gracefully. He accepts death also gracefully. This acceptance of facts of life, this acceptance of universal laws, which are choiceless, you cannot change it. That's why it is called universal law. That's why it is called fact. This acceptance of this universal law is called Jivan Muktihi, liberated while living with all physical problems and mental problems also. Swami Vivekananda suffered a lot. More than 10-15 years he suffered after gaining this knowledge. More than 10-15 years he suffered. Suffer for whom? Not ordinary suffering. The suffering made him to jump and cross the ocean. He could identify with millions of poor people, millions of illiterate people, millions of ignorant people to give the solution for their suffering in both ways. People of Western country had wealth, physical wealth, physical knowledge, but they were lacking in internal wealth. Peace of mind was not there. is to write, Europe is sitting on the volcano, any moment it can burst. Outside everything is nice, pot, but inside there is a great dissatisfaction. To quench their thirst of spirituality, I went there. As a byproduct, I may get some material wealth or something which I can share with my own country people. Because my country people have that wealth, Vedantic wealth. Everything is mithya, Bhagavan is satyam, everybody knows. But no food, what to do? To remove this imbalance in two aspects, Swamiji suffered. Not 1 year, 2 years, 15 years. At the moment when the whole world glorified him as the Messiah, as the prophet to the West, the same night, the first day, Chicago address, that day he was a guest of a millionaire. Given nice bed, beautiful room, scented room, everything nice. But Swami Vivekananda could not sleep whole night. When next day the host came and asked, Swamiji, I heard some crying sound. Swamiji, I heard that somebody was crying whole night. Do you know who cried? Swamiji did not reveal that he only cried. Suppose ordinary person, I only cried that. So I thought of my countrymen and the sympathy overpowered my mind. So therefore I cried. I could not. You would have boasted. But Swamiji did not tell anything. Afterward, that host herself found that it happened to be Swamiji himself, because entire pillow was wet. How much you can cry? You cannot cry. Nowadays people don't cry. Even wife dies or husband dies or father dies, they say okay, gone, okay. But nothing he left. What to do, Swamiji? Are you left, you, he left you physically healthy, hale and healthy. Recently I met one person, his father passed away, he was not moved at all, like a Siddha Prajna, Jnani. What to do, Swamiji, old age, so he has to go. But problem is, he has not left anything. I got a little bit annoyed and told, he left you, hail and healthy. So that sympathy, that attitude of identification with all people comes in the life of a Jnani. So he also suffers with everyone, with the knowledge that this is inevitable at the physical level. That way in Ramana Maharishi's life, a devotee lost his son. After cremating that dead body, the devotee directly came to Ramanashrama and he was sitting in front of Ramana Maharishi and he was go on crying. Ramana Maharishi generally is not an emotional type. As he was. The devotee was asking Ramana Maharishi, why it happened to me? Because 20-year-old son died, passed away. Whenever a person asks why it has happened to me, that means what? Why not to others? Why not to others? No problem with regard to others. So he asked why it happened to me. Then Ramana Maharishi told, what happened? Nothing happened. All happenings happened to be at the physical level. Physical body has come, it has gone. Like that he started. 10 minutes of Vedanta and finally your Atma, this, that, like that, he stopped. Because of this advice, the person's mind was elevated, because when a person talks with reality, that hearer's mind is elevated to that fact, that particular moment. So he was in meditative mood, he was meditating. But those other people who were there, who were hearing all these things, all this advice, they got annoyed. What is this? A father has come, having lost his own son, 20-year-old son, with lot of suffering, sorrow, this man is talking about Atma, Anatma, body is going to die, what to do, like that. So they asked boldly, Bhagavan, they used to address Ramana Maharishi as Bhagavan, instead of removing his suffering by sympathizing with him, you have told all these Advaita and Vedanta, this, that, what is this, is it proper, like that they asked. So Ramana Maharishi laughingly, he told, enak idhudhaan vai theriyum. This only I know. I have only one solution. For all problems, I have one solution. Elevating that person to his higher reality. In Sri Ramakrishna's life also, same incident happens. One devotee, after losing his son, comes to Sri Ramakrishna's Dakshineshwar room. But in Sri Ramakrishna's case, little bit of expression of sympathy was there.
In both cases, sympathy was there, but in one case, sympathy was not expressed. In Sri Ramakrishna's case, sympathy was expressed. Sri Ramakrishna also told, yes, yes, the death of a son is like a thorn in the throat. I also experienced it. My cousin, one relative, Akshay Kumar, he also passed away as a young boy. When he died, I felt that pain in my heart. This much he sympathized. Immediately he turned the topic, asking what he will do with regard to choiceless facts. Mruti is knocking everybody's door. This is choiceless. You have to wake up to your higher reality like that. He gave the same solution, but in a soothing words. In that way, a Jivan Muktaha is a person who is free from all types of problems in the midst of problems. That is the unique solution. Sleep gives relief from problems by temporarily removing our problems. The sleep, nature gives relief from the problems by temporarily removing our problems. And samadhi experiences, as claimed by Yoga Shastra, Yoga philosophers, they also give some time of relief, but it is also a temporary one. That's why he himself says, I was in samadhi. That means what? Now he is not in samadhi. It was very nice. That means what? It is not nice now. So it is a temporary solution. Another religious people give solution, die. Afterwards go and see there. Some party will be there or some Vaikuntha will be there. But this Vedantic solution is, you need not bother about the problems at all. All the problems will be there, but you will not be affected. Rain will be there. According to the laws of the nature, rains will be there. You keep your raincoat with you. Whenever rain pours, simply hold it. Whenever problem comes, simply raise yourself to your higher reality. It is not a teaching of somebody. It is a teaching pertaining to me. It is a reality. I can verify this teaching. Whenever I am raised to my higher reality, all the problems of life becomes a small, insignificant problems, like mosquito biting a rhinoceros. Imagine, mosquito bites a rhinoceros. At least elephant may have some sensation. Rhinoceros will not have sensation at all. So, gunaha guneshu vartante iti matva na sajjate. This is with regard to jnani. This body mind complex relates with the world. It has nothing to do with my real nature, with my purnatvam, with my fulfillment. This is jnani's knowledge. What is the condition of jnani? Bhagavan told in the last shloka, that is, ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. In both cases, gunaha guneshu vartante. But one person considers it as though his own action, and he is going to be the bhokta. Another person considers it is the action of body mind complex, and body mind complex is going to be a bhokta. There is an asangatvam based on the knowledge. Jnani has asangatvam, detachment from what? Not only from the external world, external relationship, detachment with regard to his own body, his own mind. There is asangatvam with regard to karma yogi also, we saw. Bhagavan told the karma yogi will not have any attachment. His asangatvam is with regard to karma phalam. Asangatvam means what? Being not affected. Being not affected is called asangatvam. Karma yogi also is not affected. Affected because he does all these actions as offering to the Lord and receives all the results as the prasada from the Lord. Therefore he is not affected, his balance of mind is not affected. But still he has an idea that I am the doer, I am offering this to the Lord, I am going to receive the result from the Lord. These ideas are there. But with jnani, his idea itself is not there. I am the doer idea is not there. Therefore he is asangaha completely, ultimately. Whereas karma yogi is asangaha, detached with regard to karma phalam. With regard to karma phalam only, therefore it is a precariously balanced asangata. Asangata means what? Balance of mind, non disturbed mind. Little bit only he can manage. If pressure comes more from all directions, he will say, what God, what Prasada Buddha, all gone. No time, Swami, for doing Gayatri Mantra, for doing Japa. I ask whenever people get initiated, I ask, whenever I see them, are you doing Japa? Initially they will be very much enthusiastic with the idea they may do something. Great thing will happen, one hollow may come, spouse will respect me, the employer will give salute, because I am doing Baba Nama. Nothing will happen. Externally nothing will happen, so you leave it. So whenever I meet them, I ask, are you doing any puja or any nama japa or anything? No time for it. Very much busy I am. What happened when pressures are less, things are there little bit, it is precariously balanced devotion. Similarly, karma yogi's devotion and karma yogi's detachment also is precariously balanced devotion. Whereas jnani's detachment and devotion is ultimate. Nothing in the world can affect his mind, his knowledge. Nothing, no factor, no situation, no object can disturb his knowledge. He is home like an ocean. We saw in the second chapter, Apuryamanam Achala Pratishtam Samudramapa Pravishanti Yadvadu. He's like an ocean, not bothered about the flood water, nor he is bothered about hot sun, because of which water is going to be evaporated. Ocean will not say, hey, don't do like that. He will not say. People only say, it is warming up. Ocean doesn't say, hey, it is warming up, I am getting more warm. Similarly, jnani is beyond all these problems, just in the presence of having this particular knowledge about his own real nature. This is what Bhagavan prescribes, this is what Vedanta prescribes as the solution. In the next shloka, Bhagavan will say to Arjuna, hey Arjuna, if you consider yourself as a jnani, you should not disturb their faith, you should not disturb their way of life, because their mind is not matured for it. Those details we will see in the next class. कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरये परमात्मने प्रणदक्लेशनाशाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः.